You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, so do y'all do anything like, is there anything that you do leading up to like Christmas to like get you guys, I don't know, in the spirit or something? Not like music wise or lights or the tree, but like I'll give you like an example. Like I went to Target and I bought a ton, and I'm ashamed to admit how many I bought, but a ton of these balsam candles. And I just like, I like open up the balcony when it gets like a little cool outside and I light the candles and just have the whole place smelling like it.
That's funny you said that.
Interesting.
I've seen some candles from Target. I forgot what it's called, though. It's not the same thing. But I like that. I have that, one of those. And that's like everything at Target for some reason. Super pricey, like over the last couple of years. So that's like the only thing I get there. And then I always put these little, like, I have like a little mini snowflake I put out on my desk. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, I don't really do anything.
Okay, so I'm not alone then.
No.
Okay. What about you, Jonas? Anything? Like
y'all
an elf on the
weird.
Shelf?
No.
What?
I do absolutely nothing.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Unbelievable.
I tell people this all the time. Moving from Ohio, where like you can tell that it's the holidays because it gets cold as shit outside. It's already been snowing for a month. Like, like up there, like that to me, that feels like the holidays. I just feel like living in Texas for the last 5 years, I just feel like I'm on vacation all the time. Like, I get into fall. Like right now, this is like August in Ohio outside right now. Oh, like this is a cold August night. And you know what winter is down here? It's just not. It's never winter. So like Thanksgiving always sneaks up on me. Always, every freaking year. I'm like, shit, I gotta go get food for Thanksgiving. And if it wasn't for the football schedule, I think I'd probably forget the holidays altogether.
I'm not gonna lie though. Like I worked retail for like 4 years out of high school, and I did like retail pharmacies and stuff for like 5 years after that, and I've grown to hate Christmas music so much. But now that I've gotten away from that, and more like just the further I get distanced from it, the more I'm like, yeah, I need something Christmassy going on. Like, I don't get it. Anyway, roll the damn music, Mike. Episode 5 of the Forever Toros podcast. Episode 4 or 5, Mike? I've lost count.
It's 5.
It's one hand, and I've already lost count, so I'm a great host, obviously. So, yeah, let's just get right into it, because I know we don't really have a lot to talk about, but we have a lot to talk about, if that makes any sense. Let's get started with some quick stuff. Chimezie Metu obviously got waived by the Spurs. He got picked up on a training camp deal that was non-guaranteed by the Sacramento Kings. That's probably not going to go anywhere, but it's good for him. He gets to go back home. He's a California kid at heart. I just wanted to touch on some of the players. The reason he may not be on that roster, the centers or hybrid forwards, whatever you want to call them, ahead of him are Marvin Bagley, Frank Kaminsky, and Hassan Whiteside, who signed on a minimum deal. Shocking that, you know, someone who's very limited and one-dimensional got a minimum deal in this market. But anyway, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Whoever wants to go first?
Well, I'll just jump in. That Chimezie, to me, seemed like he's going to be the odd person out. Just looking at, there were things he did in Austin that were like, oh, this is the guy that I heard about out of USC. This is what I expected. But then anytime he got up to the big club, it was like he forgot, simple things. And he'd get, if he was worried or whatever. But I had a feeling as soon as Drew Eubanks got minutes and started playing well, that was pretty much going to signal the end of his career. So I honestly had told a bunch of people he's probably going to be a G League guy now. He'll probably get a G League contract. The Kings thing totally threw me off, but good for him, like you said.
Yeah, I think that he maybe had a chance with the Kings until they signed Kaminsky. Yeah. I know that for a brief second, too, Metu had gone over to the Magic and was in a part of their workouts for a moment. So he's obviously just looking for his next opportunity. And I'm glad. I'm glad for him because, like Mike was saying, he did well in Austin. He really did. He was he averaged a double-double, and he looked like he could really take control up there, up 35. But every time he came down to San Antonio, he looked gun-shy, he looked unsure, and I think that it started to mentally wear him down a little bit, being a second-round pick, getting an actual contract, but never really cracking San Antonio. And I put this in a piece last spring when we were already here in quarantine and the Austin Spurs were doing their whole Growing Ground series, and Chimezie had kind of talked, had a moment when they did a little bit of an interview sequence with him, and he sounded like he was just starting to lose it in terms of you work really hard for an opportunity and, you feel like a lot of it goes unnoticed. And that's not really a Spurs kind of mentality. And so I wrote at the time that I kind of see him his option not being picked up for this year as it was he was entering a non-guaranteed year for the Spurs. And so I think that he started to see the opportunity is not there. Obviously, we've already had the complaints around the city in terms of, LaMarcus Aldridge eating up minutes, and then we don't have any size. And Messi's one of those guys, another just 6'9", super athletic, but what else can you really kind of give me there? Yep. And then Drew Eubanks just flat out outplayed him in the bubble. Messi couldn't even get on the court until it was garbage time, and he's out there gathering 2 minutes with Quindary Weatherspoon and everybody there at the end of the bubble time. And so his time in San Antonio it was coming up anyway. I'm glad that we were able to get rid of him without wasting another year of his career. And letting him have an opportunity to find somewhere else. The Kings are a very young team. His athleticism is raw. He still does well on the global stage, and he's shown out a couple times there. So hopefully he's a really young player still. There's a lot of potential. I don't want to see him just get stuck at the G League level, but I mean, his time with us was done.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, and obviously I feel like maybe we probably had a little bit more hope in him than most people, just because he was one of the few second round picks that the Spurs said, here's the contract, go ahead. You're part of the 15 man roster. And I guess we can consider it a success story regardless. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of players that have gone through Austin and have made some kind of a career for himself. But the fact that he's on the national team and, it sucks to see him go, and obviously it didn't pan out the way they wanted, but it worked out because obviously Sacramento gets Mezzi. Now Drew Eubanks gets his 3-year deal with the Spurs. You guys like that segue? Anyway, the contract details on Eubanks. I don't know if anyone's covered this, but I got this from Keith Smith. So it's $1.6 million for this season. Next year's a partial guarantee of $500,000. It's fully guaranteed 14 days after the moratorium. The third season is non-guaranteed, but also fully guaranteed 2 weeks after the moratorium. Both just the, you know, your standard little raise at 1.6, 1.7, and 1.9 million. So basically a minimum deal for how long he's been in the league. Are you guys happy with that? I mean, obviously we kind of figured he's going to be part of the roster, but like, Jonas, what do you think? What do you think about having Drew around for at least three more seasons?
I think that it's great, especially since a lot of this team, you know, again, talked about it a handful of times, nine guys from that bubble roster spent time in Austin. And one of those guys who has been a standard guy there the last couple of years has been Drew Eubanks. So there's a familiarity there. There's a comfort level there. And Drew showed, again, he's another one of those guys, kind of like Mezzi at the G League level. He showed the ability to dominate. But what was really impressive and what got him that contract was what he did in the bubble up against Joker, up against Embiid, up against there was somebody else was huge out. Rudy Gobert. He went up against Rudy Gobert, and he's pulling down rebounds, and he's more aggressive than the 7 foot one Jakob Poeltl. And so at that point, you know, and it all really started in the warm-up games when he destroyed Thanasis, right? He just utterly killed a guy on the court and has sent NBA Twitter a buzz. And so, yeah, and he's a great bench guy, and you love the familiarity that he's going to bring up to from Austin into San Antonio with the young stars, especially Keldon Johnson. That's already built-in chemistry from Keldon's entire first year. I think it's just great.
Yeah, that was the dunk that earned the man a contract, basically.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Jonas. I mean, this is a guy that I kind of, like, have joked about. And back to, like, a few years ago, I think I named my fantasy team Who Eubanks. Who is this guy, right? But then all of a sudden started thinking, better, but then still looked. I remember, John, you and I don't know, Paul would get on there and talk about him and just not being able to, like, I don't know, I guess flip the switch and play, like, league-level ball. And then I'm guessing that time off, I don't know if he just worked with the coaching staff or with somebody, well, but in the bubble, he just seemed like a total different player, and that sometimes that happens. And so seeing that from him was awesome, and then they got him on a really super cheap, extension or contract or whatever. So I'm just like, yeah, I mean, if he's able to come in and provide some spot minutes and help with the defense from the bigger guys and show a little bit of that athleticism at basically the minimum or a little bit above that, then I'm good with it.
Yeah, my displeasure, I won't say disdain, my displeasure with Drew Eubanks at the very beginning is well documented on our podcast history, my Twitter history, text history. I still remember, I think I sent you and Paul, Mike, you and Paul, that picture of him at Media Day with the two, like, armbands on his forearms.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this guy can't prosper. He looks like a 2K creative player. Like, there's no way. And you're telling me, like, you let go of Matt Costello for this? Like, I was really just angry about it. And then it always seemed like when he played, he was just sheer size and athleticism and nothing else. Yeah. And that was, I think, that's what bugged me the most. And then when he went into the bubble, it was just like everything clicked for him. He had touch. He had feel for the game. He had movement. Like, it felt like little things. Like, he could rotate his hips to stay in front of a defender. It was stuff like I'd never seen out of him before. It was like a totally different person. But yeah, like, it's just, I'm really happy for him, and it's really good that he got a 3-year deal, because that just keeps adding to the Spurs development. Like, I know if the Spurs get a national TV game, maybe, like, if somehow flexed in later in the season or next year, Drew Eubanks is going to be the one where he has a nasty dunk or a nasty play, and he's going to trend instantly on Twitter as, who the hell is this? And that's the moment I can't wait for. I can't wait to see that.
Is it going to be the dunk, or it's going to be another one of his bench celebrations?
Yeah. It's going to be something that he just goes viral with, and that way people actually get to know his name, and that it'll be worth it just for that moment alone. A couple other quick notes. The Spurs filled out their roster with the other two two-way spots in Keita Bates-Diop and Quindary Weatherspoon got brought back on a two-way deal. They also signed Cam Reynolds to an Exhibit 10 contract. A quick note on Keita Bates Diop. He's been in the NBA for 2 years out of Ohio State. Was with Minnesota and Denver. Last season, 37 games with Minnesota before being traded in the most... I completely forgot about this. One of the most meaningless four-team trades I've ever seen that sent Clint Capella to Atlanta, who still hasn't played a game for the Hawks, and Robert Covington to Houston. Keita Bates Diop averaged 6 points, 3 rebounds per game last season about or so. He turns 25 in January. And I'll say this, because I really didn't pay attention much to Keita Bates Diop, knowing outside of like the fact that he's, you know, a punt on DraftKings or FanDuel. Mike knows exactly what I'm talking about there. He's always one of those when the Timberwolves were going through their injuries and stuff. But going back and looking at videos, he's really athletic for his size. He seems like just massive, and the way he just can control his body and drive into the paint is really impressive for someone who's, you know, a pure 6'8", not 6'8", with shoes on and with lifts in his shoes or anything like that. So what do y'all think about Keita Bates Diop and Quindary coming back? And also, your thoughts on Cam Reynolds, someone who has corporate knowledge coming from Wisconsin and Milwaukee.
I mean, just to go back really quick, that Covington trade, even though it may have been one of the most meaningless, it has meaning as of this offseason, because the Blazers traded 2 first-round picks and Trevor Ariza for Robert Covington. So Keita Bates' value has to kind of be in there somewhere. He's going to get earmarked with that trade, and with that second trade in history due to the first one. But, I mean, Keita Bates was the Big Ten Player of the Year. So right there, Big Ten, I know it's not a huge basketball conference, but they've always got somebody up there, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue even. It is a basketball conference nonetheless, and so for him to be able to rise to the top of that, I think that I do like that signing. I'm really excited to see Quindary Weatherspoon back. I don't know what exactly his role is in the future. He hasn't really excelled as a three-point shooter. He hasn't even really excelled as a two-point shooter. But in Austin last year, he wasn't the focus, right? Last year, the focus was he was a second-round pick. The focus was really on getting Keldon around and then getting Luka around. I thought that what Quinn showed us, especially when you go back to just about a year ago this time, yeah, we were actually playing basketball a year ago, and we still haven't started the next season. But it was coming out of December, going into January, and Quindary showed what he can really do when he went off for 30 points on back-to-back nights. It was electric. He was on fire, and he was hitting from everywhere. So what his role is going to be next, I don't know, and I think that's what why the Spurs brought him back on another two-way contract. I'm sorry, and because they want to see more. I thought that he was going to get signed by somebody else to an actual contract based on what he showed coming out of Mississippi State, and then last year with his ability to be a pure scorer. I love it. I just love it. Cam Reynolds, I haven't gotten to see enough of, but on an Exhibit 10 contract, it can go really either way. And I know we're going to hit on this here in a bit later, but what his opportunities could be in Austin may not be there, but it's at least a tryout look, a first look kind of opportunity for the Spurs at him.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think the biggest thing I like about Cam Reynolds, ironically enough, is that he's just a lefty. And just the way that people have to defend a lefty versus a righty is always intriguing to me. So I do like that aspect of his game.
Hand placement on the defense is a little bit difficult because you forget which way you got to kind of go up an angle.
Exactly. And that's one of those things. Like, it'll be interesting to see how he kind of flourishes in that role. Mike, what did you think about those, I guess, the trio of signings to round out the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with what I saw from Quinn in the bubble. And so I thought he would definitely come back, and so I'm glad they brought him back. I mean, he's still got some more things to work on, but seeing him out there with some of the young guys was nice, and it seemed like he was able to find a rapport, which was really cool. Cam Reynolds, when they first signed him, I thought that was kind of a just-in-case thing, like in case the whole signing with Quinn didn't work out or if he found a contract somewhere else.
Yeah.
It basically works out to be a training camp deal, and it's almost kind of like a nice thing that, you know, obviously he's not going to find space on the roster, but then once he gets waived, I think Austin has like first rights to add him to the team. And so
yeah,
gives him that opportunity to earn a paycheck. and you know learn in training camp from, you know, the coaches and things like that, and before he goes out to Austin. So the one that I'm excited about, and kind of like I didn't come in first, was Kita Bates. In Denver, he didn't really get an opportunity to show much, but in Minnesota, I thought he had a few pretty good games. You know, he's that 3-4 tweener type guy. So he could finish, he can get a side finish, knock down a spot up three if he needs to. And his defense also is something that I've liked. So, you know, he's also one kind of like a contact player. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Keldon in that way. He can finish with contact at the rim. So for him to be able to basically have, you know, the opportunity to play in Austin, this is a guy that, just like I said, looks good in Minnesota, didn't get the opportunity. So now for them to be able to have a chance to develop somebody that's still relatively young and has some nice skills that they could develop. I mean, you know, you're not losing a lot by signing him. So I thought that was a nice, you know, surprising signing by the front office.
On that defensive mention you had there, Mike, I think that he also plays with good length. Like, his hands are active on the defensive side. And I know in the tape that I've seen and some of the highlights that Austin Spurs have put out there, knowing that he's a two-way guy, he's got active hands, and he plays long. And that's kind of like what you like from DeJounte Murray. And I think he brings a little bit of that, like you said, to that 3-4 position too.
Yeah,
another thing with him too, I kind of feel it reminds me, it's kind of similar to that when the Spurs signed Darren Hilliard to the two-way. Like, that's someone that I would think that's an NBA-level talent who just hasn't had the opportunities. And the fact that the Spurs can use their two-way contract as a tool to say, hey, come on and bring this here, and let's see what you can do as, like, a last lifeline of, you know, maybe his NBA career. Maybe they can unlock something the other teams can't. Or maybe it's, hey, we're just going to teach you how to be a consummate professional to help your overseas career. Because, like, obviously Darren Hilliard never stepped foot in the G League or the NBA again. He went overseas. I think he was in the Israeli League last time I checked. That's just one of those things that maybe he just needs that experience to figure out what his next path is moving forward. Mike, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, there was one game he had, I think it was early in the season last year, where he kind of showed a little bit of what he's capable of. He had like a 22-point game against the Suns, and he was basically just attacking every time. Like, he attacked their defense and getting into the paint and finishing that way. And so that kind of shows what he's capable of doing. And it comes at a position where, you know, if somebody were to get injured, then they have him they can bring up for some a little bit of depth, you know, or some sort of security there. So that's also nice.
Yeah,
do you guys
for sure
think that could be, like, again, you're looking at position-wise, and of course, we don't know what this team looks like moving forward, but if the team were to move DeMar DeRozan, somebody who can kind of come in and get a little bit more opportunity and run off utilizing that two-way contract?
Man, I would say this much. I don't see it in that sense, but I do see it in the sense of, if there's something there, and let's say you've agreed to move on from DeMar, you've agreed to move on from LaMarcus, but you want to chase a free agent. And, you know, and I'm not saying Giannis or anything, because obviously there's more free agents out there next season. But I think Kita Bates-Diop is a perfect example of, if you manage to land someone, you say, hey, you're getting promoted to the big club, here's a minimum salary, just to stay, you know, keep that salary cap, just the amount fresh and stable for whoever they decide to bring in or re-sign or whatever. I think that's the perfect candidate for that, because obviously you want him to get that promotion. You want him to max out his 45 days in the NBA, or at least give you a reason to. So I think that's best case scenario for him, at least right now. Obviously, we still don't know what's going to happen with the season or anything, but that's best case scenario right now for me.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah, that'd be a win.
Yeah, and that'd be a steal, honestly. So let's get to the important stuff, obviously. Besides the Trey Jones and Devin Vassell drafting and signings, this also ties into the main reason we're here to talk, and it's about the potential G League season. which we still have no idea about. Mark Stein had reported about the G League bubble in Atlanta. It was confirmed by Adam Joseph, formerly of Two Ways in 10 Days, and now, I think, with the Santa Cruz Warriors. The reports were that the G League bubble would be in Atlanta, where the organizations would have to buy in to participate in the bubble, $500,000, and not every team was expected to participate. Shocking that these guys don't want to have their G League team out there and have to pay money for them to play. And the NBA apparently, that cost includes the quarantine period, their housing, all that, and daily COVID testing. For the minimum schedule was rumored to be 12 games with a chance to play 15 to 16 with some sort of a playoff format. They were targeting late January, but obviously there was no start time. Here's some of the most interesting parts. The Austin Spurs were recently giving away a 10-game voucher to attend their games that we still don't know are actually going to happen for Black Friday. That was part of their selling point.
With people in them.
Yeah, with no idea that if the Cedar Park Center was even going to have fans. This just gets more and more ridiculous the more that I just say this out loud. The deadline for teams to register was last Friday. So we're recording this on Wednesday, December 9th. The deadline was the 4th at 5 p.m. No one has any idea who's participating, who's agreed to actually do this or anything. There's no salaries that have been mentioned or negotiated because the union has to do that. And if you were to take on like a normal G League season, players get $35,000 for the season or about $7,000 a month. So that'd be $7,000 just to go to Atlanta for 12 games or more. And there's no rumor on how this affects Exhibit 10 contracts because they get a $50,000 bonus for staying in the G League for 60 days, but we wouldn't even have a 60-day season. And no word on how the hell two-way players are supposed to get in and out of the bubble or other players that like the Spurs may want to send the rookies down there. And how they're supposed to participate in a one-month season with a, you know, a week quarantine window. So that's all we know so far. Take over, guys. I have nothing. I don't know what the G League is doing. I have nothing.
I'm just wondering if that $500,000 is going towards the whole like NBA like stimulus to like the owners, the way they're helping them out. I think it was announced like. Sometime this week, some like that they're gonna give them, you know, so much money to like help them with any costs or whatever. And I was just like, okay. And so now they're charging these teams $500,000 each to like participate in the bubble.
Okay, to stay at a Motel 6 in Atlanta.
Exactly, pretty much. Probably have to take the bus there. But you know, the thing is, it's crazy. I mean, that doesn't make it incredibly attractive for teams to want to do that. I mean, you want to see obviously some of your young talents and see what they have, but Paul and I were talking, and one option, I think it was Tim and I, it's not, it was you and I, but one option was like maybe they lengthen the max players the team could carry, and then they have, you know, players, the you know, select number of players they can have with them, you know, maybe not active, but you know, there's just so many things that, I mean, it just seems like the NBA has had kind of a, not crystal clear, but some idea of when they want to get started back up. Like, what happened with the whole, like, G League planning? It's just kind of like, there's no answers for anything. Like, it's like you said, like, if the deadline was Friday, I would have expected a news release already.
Exactly.
Nothing there, which is crazy. And so it just doesn't look good for the G League, and it was looking like this might end up being like an exciting season, you know, with this new team and everything, and you know, especially some of these rookies and getting a chance, and now don't really know what they're going to do with that. And I just love Austin trying to get in on that, on the Black Friday sales, and I am just wondering, yeah, if they had some like crazy bonus if you like sold a certain amount of like those like 10 packs and like how well they actually did. I don't know. I guess they're like seriously in the red right now to be selling tickets to games they don't know if they'll really be able to even put on yet. So it's crazy.
So that also, yeah, that also reminds me too. So not only do we have this whole, you know, makeshift bubble idea, but the G League Ignite team that we talked about last episode or two episodes ago is already said to be participating. who are they supposed to play against? Also, not only that, but the fact that this is just there's no communication about how these games would even be broadcast or anything like that. And I just, Jonas, do you have anything? I'm just so beside myself on how this is being handled, and I just feel really bad for these players that this might be their last shot in an NBA career.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that they would still be broadcast on Twitch or something of the sort, which is where the games are typically broadcast, or on Facebook Live. If you can dig around the internet, and of course, because the NBA has the NBA has been so hush hush about their plans here, and because I literally think they just don't know what they want to do. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff, and it seems like the Players Association is going to have to get involved in terms of how you do handle like the two-way contracts, because if you can only spend a maximum of 45 days at the NBA, well, what do I do with Quindary Weatherspoon the rest of the I'm bad at math, what, 22 games or whatever, 32 yeah. games? What can I do with Quindary Weatherspoon at that point? And these opportunities, so I would have at least expected to see a different construction of the two-way contract at that point. Okay, maybe it's you're allowed to be at the team facilities and you're allowed to be at the end of the bench, or maybe and in case of a game-ending injury because of the condensed schedule and everything like that, maybe if somebody tears their Achilles again or whatever, at that point, Quindary can come into the game and be a substitutable body. But if you dig into the rumors around the internet, there's four teams that are reportedly not going to be involved or did not opt in to the G League bubble last week. And that's reportedly the Celtics, which is the main Red Claws, the Sioux Falls Sky Force of the Heat, the South Bay Lakers, of course, of the Lakers, and the Grand Rapids Drive of the Pistons. Well, two of those teams just got done playing in the NBA Finals. So I don't think that they're really focused on developing talent. I don't even know if the Lakers are going to be holding on to their draft picks or anything like that moving forward. But and the Celtics, again, another playoff team. I think they're going to be fine. I don't think they're really focused on developing anybody. Of course, that does impact Taco Fall, who was one of the highlights of the G League last year, and what that looks like for his prospective career moving forward. But I would have thought, okay, well, if you are going to do a bubble of some sort, then you could do what the MLB did, where they didn't have their minor league system. NFL doesn't really have a minor league system, so they're kind of irrelevant here. But the MLB does have a minor league system, which is kind of comparable to what the G League is. And so they had a way off site, where they had kind of just like a mini season for a lot of these guys to keep them fresh in terms of batting and pitching and playing the field and all that jazz. But you can't in basketball, it's about chemistry. It's about all being on the same page. It's not just about your ability to shoot, but your ability to move without the ball and get into the right space and be able to understand where the other guys are defending, to know your space within that. And so I don't think that they could have done an off-site kind of bubble and just featuring guys on two-way contracts and, you know, assignees down to that. But you raised the great question, John, of, okay, well, even if you have a bubble like that and it's running alongside the NBA season, how do you move those guys in and out without opening them up to contact with COVID-19? And then you infected a whole NBA locker room just because you tried to bring a guy up from the G League, and somebody on the entire route process from getting them there, tests positive. It's a mess. And quite frankly, on the same season that the G League is trying to launch its Ignite program, which was a huge success. We talked about it last time. A huge success for the G League and for the NBA in terms of pulling top premier college talent into the NBA, where guys can go ahead and start making, profiting off their own brand and playing alongside NBA talent and being coached by NBA coaches and Brian Shaw. And they've been filling that roster out really well. This is really looking like a kind of flub. And I believe it was just the other day that Isaiah Todd was asked about this opportunity. And he said that, he wished, because college basketball started. So all these guys that passed up the opportunity to play NCAA ball and showcase themselves at that level for the rest of the world and for the NBA, those guys are playing that went to college, and the guys who went to the G League right now are still sitting on their hands. And he was like, "Well, I don't think I'd make a different choice." But it's not really so much about him because he's already committed. He missed the opportunity. Yep. he hopped on the other train. It's about this next recruiting class. How does the NBA recover this G League season, the G League opportunity with the Ignite program for these next guys coming out of high school? And we're only about 3 years away from a Bronny James having to make his decision as to what he's going to do. D Wade's kid is coming out soon. And these are guys that if the NBA can really you hear reports that maybe they're not, you know, those two aren't quite NBA ready. They might need a year in college. Well, those would be huge wins for the NBA brand to get them in the Ignite program.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you guys said, it's a mess. But I'm not terribly surprised that the Grand Rapids Drive did not have like a team that are going to be in the world. I mean, obviously that the Pistons and their like 10 centers look enough like a development team as it is. That's right. So they've got enough development going on, I guess, underneath their own roof there for to actually put a field a team. But yeah, man, I mean, this is just crazy times right now. But I kind of just wonder, like, Adam Silver thinks, like, man, who do I have running this thing, and why is it such a mess? Because the NBA normally does a really good job of everything, and that falls under somebody at the league office. And obviously, they just don't even know what to do. And it's going to be kind of one of those fly by the seat of your pants deals.
I can go ahead.
You guys raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, there's a button for that feature for a reason, right?
Needy butt. Go lay down.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.